This is your teacher, Dingley May, addressing you with his heart. Let us feel the spirit of wisdom embracing us together. I shall deal now with your documentary lesson number 16. Peace be unto you. Peace be unto you. Now, my beloved, your 16th documentary lesson deals with the paradox of age. You will remember your last lesson, and I hope that you've had a marvelous week in the study of it. Now, let us prayerfully and quite logically consider this lesson together. Now, if the body, your body, my body, is chemistry in action, as stated in our last lesson, and if it is essentially young, as we now have reason to know, how does it come about that it is also old? Now, this is a legitimate question that we must now carefully consider, for whatever else we do, we must not deceive ourselves. Now, there can be little doubt, after what we have already learned, that the sum total of the substances of the body are actually young. Hitherto, we, like most people, had imagined that the body grew old in the same manner as a piece of machinery or an old pair of shoes. That is, that wear and tear caused the age. We had thought that a man attains maturity at about 40 years of age, that he is old and worn out at 70 or 80. There is a contradiction here. For on the one hand, it is true, and on the other, gloriously not true. It is true in the sense that it is generally so understood. It is true in the sense that it is generally so understood. But, my beloved, that's just about all that one can say. It is not true to the biological fact of life, which is that the human body, no matter how old it may appear, is essentially young. Shakespeare's old man in the seventh stage, whose great manly voice has changed again to feeble treble, is actually no older in biological substance than the great granddaughter of 10, who steadies the trembling hand of the man of 90. You see that, do you not? Now, how can we reconcile these contraries? Now, doubtless you have worked in photography. If so, you will understand this illustration. Take two sensitive plates exactly alike. Upon one, you focus the image of an old man. Upon the other, the image of his grandchild. Now, you have no hesitation in stating that the two plates are identical in substance. You know also that the impression on each plate is made by the light reflecting the image. The light cannot discriminate. It will as readily impress the plate with the image of the grandparent as with that of the grandchild, whichever you as the operator decide to expose. Now, do you see this clearly? In our bodies, we have to deal with a different sort of light, the light of the mind. If then the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? Now, the light of the mind is the creative spirit, the light of divine wisdom. We all know that we cannot have light without heat, fire. In our case, the case of our bodies, the heat is the fire of divine wisdom. And to those students who have made the progress with the breathings that they should do regularly will know that when they retain their breath properly, they can feel and know this heat of the divine wisdom within. Now, what is written here is not by any means figurative or symbolic. The words mean just what they say. For the energy emanating from the fire of divine love is the light of wisdom. As I look out again on the scene in California, I can see in the universe without abundant evidence of the power, and I want you to realize, my dear student, that persistent meditation will bring you a realization of this same power within you, will make the light and fire so real that you will be able to feel it and see it. Sit and think of this great light. If you can relax sufficiently to be able to contact it, you will see it before your eyes. If so, rejoice and be grateful. Now let us return to those photographic negatives. We have them fixed. We proceed to print. The natural light filters through to the sensitive paper. And behold, upon one sheet, it produces the image of the grandfather. On the other, the image of the grandchild. Now let us suppose that the negative is your mind, rather the mind substance through which the light filters, the light being your thought. Let us suppose that the negative is your mind, rather the mind substance through which the light filters, the light being your thought. The sensitive paper is your body. The mind is composed of ideas through which the light of divine wisdom filters, imprinting the sensitive substance of the body with the picture of the ideas in the mind. Now get this deeply in your thought. Realize that it is true. Then proceed to read. These ideas in the mind are for the most part inherited in the subconscious mind, but they are modified by the action of the conscious mind. Now, my beloved, think. If the picture is that of a child of 10, an image of that sort is produced. If, on the other hand, it is that of a man of 90, then senility is produced. You will instantly see the feasibility of this. But in support of it, there is a case on record of a beautiful girl of 18 who, thwarted in love, became demented. She lost all sense of time. 20 years passed, and during that time she was in a mental hospital. But she did not grow older, still appearing as a girl of 18. Now, this is not common, but in her case, the subconscious mind was so charged with love, the fire of the divine love, that she was thus ruled. Now, instances of mothers unconsciously impressing their ideas upon their infants are very numerous. Let me quote only one. A woman with a dark complexion and hair was deeply in love with a man of totally opposite type. Blue eyes, light hair, fresh complexion. The man was killed. Some years later, the woman married a man of similar type to herself. The mental picture, the subconscious, was so strong of her first love that when the baby was born, it in no way whatever resembled either parents, but had blue eyes, light hair, fresh complexion. Now, we have already learned, haven't we? I hope very clearly, how men are deceived by their senses, and women quite as much as men, of course. In this lesson, we see how we are deceived by the traditions of the race. Now, we have to correct this, and we can do so. The biological fact of life is that every particle of the body is comparatively young. If the particles, the cells, are young, then the body as a whole must also be young. And being young must have the power of youth. Now, there's no getting away from this fact. Once you are able to get it well established in your mind, the work is almost done. For your recognition of this great fact will act as a shot to the old ideas. That is, the old thought, the subconscious thought, is short-circuited. Let us go further. There is a natural, normal growth from childhood to age. This, too, is controlled by the tradition of the race mind, the cumulative thought of the ages. Now, students of mental physics are, of course, free to accept the tradition. But in my opinion, they are fools if they do so. Or they may reject it. And it is hoped that we are all consciously rejecting it. Man is living longer than he used to. And the average span of human life is being gradually extended. Now you are at liberty to accept the tradition or reject it. You are you not? But if you live what you know, you will reject it. You then assume a similar attitude to the universe of yourself, as was done nearly 100 years ago when a thinker said that iron would float. Iron had never been known to float. It was impossible. But then the human factor, the creative spirit within the human being made divine, came in. And today, everyone in the Western world, even little children in school, know that iron floats.